So many of us are grappling with the slew of deaths from COVID-19. My family knows 7 people who have died, and for us and everyone else, there'll be no traditional wakes, no funerals, no memorials, burial, or church ceremonies. Most of us have never experienced anything like this in our lives. So how do we begin to grieve and make sense of this new reality? For more, we're joined by Brandi Scalace. She's the author of Death's Summer Coat, What the History of Death and Dying Teaches Us About Life and Living. Welcome.
Thank you.
I was reading an article where a funeral home worker in Milan, Italy said, quote, "This pandemic kills twice. First, it isolates you from your loved ones right before you die. Then it doesn't allow anyone to get closure." And that really hit me hard. It really struck me and made me think, like, have we ever experienced anything like this on such a large scale?
We have, but it has been a long time ago. I think a lot of people are referring to the Spanish flu of 1918, which swept across internationally. But in the West, particularly, this is new for us. We haven't seen something like this in a long time. And I think the last one in recent memory might have been polio, but of course that was very different. It tended to affect only children, and so you didn't have that sense that no one could contact anyone.
You've actually said that specifically here in the United States, we are psychologically unprepared to address or handle death, and that this is the real crisis that we're dealing with right now. What do you mean?
I feel that we're victims of our own success at times, and here in the United States, with the advent of modern medicine and modern science and technology, things like ventilators, which are now in short supply, we just got used to the idea that you get sick and then you get better and you go to the hospital and then you come home. And the fact that we are really divorced in some ways from the death and dying experience. Other cultures are much closer to, for instance, if you are going to wash the body or you're going to have the person dying in their home with you, there's a nearness, there's a sense that you're part of that entire journey of mortality. And here, death is often mitigated by a kind of sterility. So you have the hospital and then the funeral home, and many people see their loved ones alive in the hospital and then not again until the funeral home. And so there's a disconnection, partly because we've been so successful at eradicating disease, wow, at stopping infection.
But you bring up that process, that tradition then of the funeral home and being able to have a wake or a funeral. Can you talk a little bit, though, about that act of physically coming together to mourn or comfort and how we really don't have that in this particular pandemic?
So one of the things I like to remind us all about is that we're very story-related creatures. We're narrative creatures, and how we make meaning in our lives and also in death is through story. And story can be ritual or ritual can be story. It depends on how you want to look at it. But that allows us to process. You know, we use our words, and often we go to these funerals, and what does everyone do? They share stories about the person that has died. So that memorializing process, that closure, partly comes about by you reimagining their life.
I'm thinking about the other things, though, that we are now missing during this pandemic. You know, in my family, when someone dies, I'm thinking about the food. People from all over, friends who were friends from 20, 30 years ago, bringing a dish to the house and just sitting with the loved ones, not even with the person perhaps at a wake, but with the loved ones. That is now gone. What can we do to still grieve and pay our respects without these rituals?
We can look at the way death has been translated by other cultures. And I like to use the Khmer Rouge, the Pol Pot regime. They killed many people in Cambodia. There's mass graves. But this is a really interestingly resilient society in terms of how they mourn. Because they feel it's necessary to chant over a body in order to help that soul on its way. And obviously, if you're having mass, you know, disappearances and people being buried en masse, you can't do that in an individual way. So what they did is, as a community, as a religious community and as a culture, they instituted a new way of grieving, which allowed you to take things that belonged to the person photographs, clothing, jewelry, articles, and chant over those things. So it's a kind of replacement. But they basically blessed the experience sort of retrospectively using new ways. And to me, that represents the real strength of what ritual and storytelling can do in the face of grief, is that if we don't have a story that works for us right now, we do have the power to make new ones.
And in the moment, we have technology that allows us to come together and be able to have these memorials through a Zoom call or through a phone call.
Absolutely. And I think that we're sometimes really still quite focused on how do I make the funeral an online event, when I would suggest, how do we make our grief something that can be shared digitally? And it doesn't necessarily mean replicating or recreating exactly what might have happened in a funeral home, but thinking beyond that to the art, science, audio, visual possibilities that we have to express our magnitude of feeling for this person. And in some ways, because it is digital, it's also shareable outside the moment of the funeral, outside of your immediate circle as well. So I'd say right now we're looking toward a future where death will have touched everyone. And so I would almost encourage us to think more broadly about how we can connect not just to our immediate loved ones, but to other people who are suffering the same kind of dissonance as a result.
That's Brandi Scalace, PhD and author of Death's Summer Coat, What the History of Death and Dying Teaches Us About Life and Living. Brandi, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me on.